Here it comes. The Great Commission lit me. After he had died and was resurrected from the dead, our Lord Jesus spoke these words.
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
As followers of the risen Christ, we have been called by our Master to make disciples who bear the seal of the waters of baptism.
When we commit ourselves to carry out this commission, we commit ourselves to obediently proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we do this, we expect to see the power of God that was witnessed by Philip on a dusty road from Jerusalem to Gaza as he proclaimed the good news of Jesus.
Listen to how God used Philip to transform an Ethiopian court official into a follower of Jesus.
Go
the Spirit
over,
said to Philip.
Go over and join the chariot.
So Philip ran to the Ethiopian eunuch and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked,
Do you understand what you are reading?
And he said,
How can I, unless someone guides me?
Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said,
See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?
And the eunuch commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch. And Philip baptized him. When in Philippi, Paul and his fellow laborers met a woman named Lydia. Upon talking to Lydia about the things of God, Paul and his company bore witness to the power of God to save men and women.
When we present the worthiness of following Jesus to an unbelieving child, an apathetic neighbor, or a skeptical co-worker, we stand with Paul and his company. We do so expecting to see the saving power of God.
Listen to how God used Paul and his company to transform a Philippian businesswoman into a follower of Jesus. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place for prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, the seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul had said. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying,
If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.
And she prevailed upon us. When Paul and Silas, freed from their chains, chose to speak words of life to a Philippian jailer instead of flee, they witnessed the word of the Lord transform an entire household.
Along with Paul and Silas, we too desire to see households transformed by God. Therefore, in obedience to Jesus' commission, and with a desire to see God change human hearts, we also will testify to Jesus in the world to our friends and neighbors.
Listen to how God used Paul and Silas to transform a suicidal prison guard into a follower of Jesus. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice,
Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.
And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said,
Sirs, what must I do to be saved?
And they said,
Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.
And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up to his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Wherever we proclaim Jesus as the risen King and Savior of the world, we labor alongside Philip, Paul, and the church throughout the ages in obedience to our Lord's command. And we do all this trusting in Jesus' most certain promise that he would always be with us to the end of the age.
Amen.
We'd like now to do the affirmation of faith. It can be found in your hymnal, page 887. It's from Romans 8. And I will need the hymnal, Fred. I did not bring it
up. Okay.
If I can share with you.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword.
No, in all things we are more than conquerors. Through the one who loved us, we are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please be seated. We have a couple prayer cards here this morning. Granddaughter Jordan. And this is Jackie's granddaughter. And I can't actually understand what this says. Okay. And another one, Sister Suzanne and husband, visiting from Reno, Nevada. Great. Never have been there, but I think I can have a good time. Let's bow our head in prayer. O God, who loves us when we are at our worst, when we have broken the rules of life, when we have injured our health, when we have mistreated our friends and families, when we have hated ourselves and complained about you, teach us how to love with your love. Let us begin by caring for ourselves, for our health, for our spirits, for our welfare, and for our joy. Then, out of the fullness of self, let us reach out to others, caring to their health, spirits, welfare, and joy. Show us how the death and resurrection of Christ are related to all this, to forgiveness of our sins and fullness of our life and desires. And grant, O God, that leaving behind the old self and all its negativism, we may rise to newness of life in you, so that we see and feel and taste and hear the wonders of our existence in the world and live in excitement and gratitude and humility. And dear God, we pray that you open your hand of compassion to your followers that spend their lives helping others. The military, firemen, police, rescue squads, and all our leaders are in need of our prayers for their safety. And we place the families and friends of Khaki, Joy? I'm sorry, I couldn't read that. In your hands also, and their friends and family. Help them handle what is happening to them. Help them to realize that God is there and God is doing right. And now, let us pray the prayer Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, this morning, Mary is going to be reading the scriptures. I have a hymn. And anthem. Oh, the choir. I'm sorry.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Micah 6, 6 through 8, and may be found on page 867 in your pew Bible. Verse 6. What God requires. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The New Testament reading is Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, and may be found on page 34 in your pew Bible. In the New Testament. Okay. Matthew 28, uh, 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mary. We could take those two scriptures and, like our Sunday school class, we probably could spend about an hour kind of dissecting with the words of Micah and the words of Matthew the Apostle. Well, here we are again together. It's another Laity Sunday in the church, and we get this on the third Sunday in October of every year. It gives a chance for Pastor Ken to take the Sunday off, and he even got a Saturday off. Fred preached for us last night, and I know that he enjoyed not having to get a sermon together and do all of the things that it takes to prepare a sermon. And until you really do that yourself, you don't really understand the work it takes to do that. And you're deeply appreciated, by the way, Pastor Ken. So here we are again together. On a Laity Sunday. So what does this really mean to us as United Methodists? It's the Sunday designated by the United Methodist Church to celebrate the good works of you. Not me, not Pastor Ken, but all of us. You are the laypersons of God's church here at Clarksbury, and as we celebrate Laity Sunday, all the churches in the United Methodist Church together are celebrating Laity Sunday. So in the teachings of Jesus Christ before his death and resurrection, he trained and prepared his disciples to carry on his work after he ascended into heaven. These chosen servants did exactly that, and in their good works, they prepared the generations that were to follow them to preach and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So on Laity Sunday, we celebrate the ministry of the laity, knowing full well that without the servant leadership of the laity from the very beginning, we would not be the United Methodist Church in the present day. It is through unity in ministry, clergy and laity working together and serving in a partnership, that the United Methodist Church will continue to lift high the cross, reaching out into ministry throughout the world. So how many of you realize you didn't choose God? How many of you are aware that he chose you? He loves you when you don't love him. He loves you when you don't love yourself. I had a good friend who's in the ministry told me one time, he said, Warren, he said, God loves you, and there ain't a doggone thing you can do about it. Nothing you would do will ever stop him from loving you. His Holy Spirit has gently called you to salvation and to a lifelong walk with the one who created you. If you never realized that you were called before, I'm telling you now that you have been called. And I want you to realize how special you are and how much God loves you today. I also want you to know that we haven't been called for a solo career. We have been called to work together for the glory of God. You heard those instructions from Mary's reading of the scriptures from the book of Micah, the prophet, and from the gospel according to the apostle Matthew. Did you get the connection between the Old Testament reading and the New Testament reading? Well, let me just refresh your minds. You can open your Bibles back up if you choose to. But in chapter 6, we read that Micah is telling Israel and Judah, he has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. In Matthew 28, we hear the Great Commission from none other than Jesus the Christ himself. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So think about it. Through the words of Micah and Jesus, both of them have given you the authority to go into the world, not just here in this church, not here in Hardyville and Deltaville, but in the whole wide world. You are to make disciples for the transformation of the world. So now, some 2,000 plus years, we are here at Clarksbury today to celebrate your works as lay servants. And through these words, we as Christians have the awesome responsibility and privilege to continue to spread the word of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Can I hear an amen? So what happens when we have the opportunity to make disciples for Jesus Christ? We can get uncomfortable, don't we? We seek to change the situation, don't we? We try quickly to improve our own condition and alter that sense of discomfort, quickly forgetting the words of Micah and the words of Matthew. You see, it's human nature to try and reduce your discomfort. God understands this and forgives you over and over and over again. As Christians, is there a lesson provided to us in this discomfort? Of course there is. Through this discomfort, we can be driven to solve problems and improve conditions of the world around us. Look at the ministries of this church. Do you think that Fran and Kathy were comfortable stepping out of the box when the ideas of the food ministry, the food pantry, and the soup ministry came about? You can bet they were not. How about those that teach Bible study, read scripture, sing in the choir, play musical instruments, and preach from the pulpit? What do you think their comfort level is? Well, I can tell you from personal experience, it's sometimes going to be sweaty armpits, a trembling voice, and shaky hands. So why do they accept these opportunities? It's because they accept what Micah and Matthew told them that their God wanted them to do. We are carriers of the message. It's our job to keep Jesus. It's our job to take Jesus' places. Someone carried the message of Jesus to you, didn't they? When we heard the good news about Jesus, someone brought it to us. And when we received the good news, something great happened to us. When we have been changed by the good news, we know that it will be good news to others as well. It is news to be shared. In fact, that is Jesus' assignment for you today. He tells us to make disciples. We want to be about people. We want to be about people having life, full of joy, as God has designed it to be. We want to be about people being filled with purpose. We want to be about God, people knowing God, and we want to be relentless and passive, and not passive about this. It should be our consuming passion. Making disciples is not a stationary act. It is a matter of going out. It is the nature of the Christian to be on the move. You see, we do not sit. We do not stay. We do not have a sedentary life, faith, like the story I'm about to tell you. A paramedic was asked on a local TV's talk show program, what was your most unusual and challenging 911 call? He said recently we got a call from that big white church on the corner of 11th and Walnut. A frantic usher was very concerned that during the sermon an elderly man had passed out in the pew and appeared to be dead. The usher could find no pulse, and there was no noticeable breathing. The reporter said, well, what's so unusual about that call? And the paramedic said, we carried out four guys before we found the one who was dead. So, brothers and sisters, I challenge you this morning, let's not be caught dead in the pews. The evidence of our faith has meaning to us, and do we have purpose? And we have purpose that we are active and on the move, and this means everybody, every day. Did you hear that? Everybody, every day. So when you come to Pastor Ken and to me and say, well, I'm not sure I can do this today, well, hear those words. Everybody. We all need to be moving toward those who don't know Jesus. Think of the relationships you have. Think of the relationships you have had and what they need, and they need to be restarted, some of them. Think of the relationships you need to begin and always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Tell your story. Give your testimony. You are a witness. So tell how Jesus changed you. Now, I'm not going to ask you to go preach a sermon. And I'm not going to ask you to force Jesus into every conversation. But if someone asks you, Warren, the sky sure is pretty today, like the pastor posts his beautiful, beautiful sunsets, you can answer, yes, it is. And my Jesus made it that way. So as opportunities come up to share our faith naturally, we can work Jesus into the conversation. But we have to be careful. Sometimes our evangelical zeal, we often think people just need more or better information in order to believe. We think that if we just tell them the right things, they will eventually make a decision for Jesus. What we are finding more and more in the present day is that people are not looking for more information. There's a ton of information available to us today. What people really are looking for is authenticity. You see, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. For when people who talk about a loving God demonstrate love, the gap between doubt and faith is narrowed, and the people around them often find themselves wanting to believe. This means that when we take the time to show our love through serving, it helps us tell the good news more effectively. Ask God for wisdom. You know that He loves to answer that question. He loves to answer that prayer with affirmative. He will give it. I close this morning with this story. In 1967, Doug Nichols went to India to be a missionary. But while he was just starting to study the Bible, the language, he became infected with tuberculosis and had to be put in a sanatorium. It was not a very good place to be. It was not very clean. And the conditions were difficult because there were so many sick people there. But Doug decided to do the best he could in that situation. So he took a bunch of Christian books and tracts and tried to witness with the other patients in the sanatorium. But when he tried to pass out the tracts, they were rejected. No one wanted them. He tried to hand out books, but no one would take them. He tried to witness, but he was handicapped because of his inability to communicate in their language, and he felt so discouraged. Because of his long illness, he would be there for a long, long time. But he seemed like the work that he had been sent to do would not be done because no one would listen to him. Because of his tuberculosis, every night at about 2 a.m., he would wake up and with a chronic cough that just wouldn't quit. Then one night when he awoke, he noticed across the aisle an old man trying to get out of bed. He said the man would roll himself up into a little ball and teeter back and forth, trying to get up the momentum to get up and stand on his feet. But he just couldn't do it. He was just too weak. Finally, after several attempts, the old man laid back and just wept. The other patients made fun of the old man. The nurses in the morning came to clean up his bed, and they weren't kind to him either. In fact, one of them even slapped him in the face. Doug said that the old man just laid there and cried, Doug said that next night about 2 o'clock, he started coughing again. He looked across the way, and there was the old man he had awakened, trying to get out of the bed once more. Doug says, I really didn't want to do it, but somehow I managed to get up, and I walked across that aisle, and I helped the old man to stand up, but he was too weak to walk. So Doug said, I took him in my arms and carried him like a baby. He was light, and it wasn't a difficult task. I took him into the bathroom, which was nothing more than a dirty old hole in the floor, and I stood behind him and cradled him in my arms as he took care of himself. Then I carried him back to his bed and laid him down. As I turned to leave, he reached up and grabbed my face and pulled me close and kissed me on the cheek and said what I think was, thank you. The next morning, there were patients waiting when I awoke, and they asked if they could read some of the books and tracts that I had brought them. Others had questions about the God that I was worshiping and his only son who came into the world to die for their sins. Doug Nichols says that in the next few weeks, he gave out all of the literature that he had brought, and many of the doctors and nurses and patients in that sanatorium came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. He said, now what did I do? I didn't preach a sermon. I couldn't even communicate in their language. I didn't have a great lesson to teach them. I didn't have wonderful things to offer. All I did was carry an old man to the bathroom, and anyone can do that. Folks, we can have the eloquence of an orator, the knowledge of a genius, the faith of a miracle worker, the generosity of a philanthropist, the dedication of a martyr, but if we don't engage and express this agape love, it doesn't count, and it won't even matter. Service with love, with an inward strength, with an outward focus, possessing a mission orientation, being a people with purpose, this is what God has for us. This is where we must go as a church. We must go out from these walls of this church and get going. So I leave you this morning with this idea. Let's just get going from this church. May God add his blessing to the reading of his scripture. Amen. Okay, I ask you to turn in your bulletins to our response to the word. This is the covenant prayer in the Western tradition, and we find this on page 607. And we will read this together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth will be ratified in heaven. Amen.